Hello, all. I'm Megan Bell, Director of Engagement at Daylight, and your host. Welcome to Illuminate Philanthropy, where every episode seeks to brighten the path of philanthropic advisory, elevate the profession, and amplify its impact. In this premiere edition, we're embarking on an insightful journey through the evolving landscape of philanthropic advising. Philanthropy isn't static. It's a dynamic field influenced by emerging trends and shifting paradigms. So if you're ready to gain valuable insight and adapt to the changing tides of philanthropy, you're in the right place. Let's dive in and illuminate the path forward together. I'm so excited to have Crystal Tompkins back with us today. If you remember from last week, we spent time talking about Trend 4, and today we're going to reveal Trend 5. But I want to remind our listeners that these trends actually come from a significant amount of research that we did at Daylight. It comes from conversations with hundreds of professionals, including wealth advisors, fundraisers, and family offices, and donor-advised fund leaders. It's been fascinating because our research has shown that advisors, we found that of the 258 respondents, they helped facilitate over $13 billion. That's why this is really important. The work we're doing is because philanthropic advisors are really at the forefront of driving dollars towards impact. And we're really at this incredible intersection of wealth and philanthropy. So can you share now what is Trend 5 of philanthropic advising?
Sure. Trend 5 is growing mistrust. And what why is this important? And why what are we seeing? You know, trust as in any relationship is important, and trust is really foundational in philanthropy. The bottom line is if donors don't trust the work that nonprofits are doing, they won't fund. And then how do we lead this change? How do we move resources for impact? You know, there's been studies have shown, and particularly Edelman has been doing research for years around measuring people's trust in institutions, including businesses, government, philanthropy, nonprofits, media, etc. And over the past decade, up until the last year, trust overall was declining, particularly in institutions and in philanthropy and nonprofits. But then last year, there was a little bit of a shift, and it moved kind of 50-50, with nonprofits kind of, you know, saying, you know, it's flip a coin levels of trust. And big philanthropy, however, still garnered more mistrust than nonprofits themselves. Well, this growing mistrust has continued. And as a matter of fact, in, you know, when it comes to business and media and government, it's actually at its lowest point as of this recent study this year that it has been since, you know, 2020. But there's one positive thing that came out of the most recent study by Edelman that was released earlier this year. And that's that trust in nonprofits it has increased slightly. And that's a good thing because that means that, you know, hopefully donors will be much more willing to, you know, work and fund and provide those resources in all of the ways needed for nonprofits to move their mission forward. That's the good news. The not so good news is that there's still a significant amount of mistrust in big philanthropy, and particularly, you know, corporate philanthropy, high net wealth. There's still a lot of work to be done to kind of lead to increasing levels of trust in those institutions.
And when we talk about mistrust, is it mistrust in how they're guiding their dollars? Is it mist? I mean, what is it that we're not trusting?
It's, you know, I think it's a multiple things. I think, you know, there is this mistrust in kind of institutions generally, right? Which is why we see that declining trust in businesses. There is this mistrust, you know, some mistrust in terms of, you know, nonprofit in the use and allocation of resources and how they're going to allocate dollars. I think some of this is also just a result of this mistrust in business and the lack of transparency. There's, you know, there's a lot of, you know, questioning about, you know, with all of the headline news and things about, you know, government and businesses. I think that there is just a general sense of mistrust in institutions generally, and nonprofits, unfortunately, sometimes get some of the same, the aspersions cast on them because of the lack of understanding, lack of transparency that's perceived by donors in the work that they're doing. And some of it is it's simply quite, just a lack of awareness and understanding about what's being done. I'll also say that, there is this sense of making sure that not only are funds not being misallocated, but also just a sense of just do folks know what to do? I know in, in 2020, there was a significant amount of resources that were shifted to nonprofits in the wake of, racial and social justice issues after the murder of George Floyd. And it was, really interesting to watch how all of these nonprofits had to, navigate and manage the resources and the dollars that were being that were, increasingly flowing into their coffers. And with that, though, came kind of the scrutiny of donors, or are they going to be using these funds effectively? And I think, we've seen a lot of nonprofits rise to that occasion, and the data shows that number, those numbers are increasing in terms of trust, but there's still this hesitancy, I think, in terms of just making sure that, are people doing the right thing? And that's just general.
What I'm hearing from you, one of the ways to adapt to this growing mistrust is transparency. You've hit on that. But what are other ways that one can adapt to this particular trend of growing mistrust?
Yeah, I think one of the key areas, quite frankly, is just understanding where the donors are coming from. What is their experience? And that, what it requires a level of cultural dexterity to have the kinds of conversations to, to get to the why. Why is that level of mistrust? What has been your experiences with, nonprofits or, volunteers or boards or just giving in general, that has led to, how you feel or don't feel about how you work with and support nonprofits and giving and what your giving looks like. Everybody's experience is different, and one of the things that the Edelman research showed as well is that people who are engaged and involved in volunteering have a much different and a much higher level of trust in nonprofits than people who don't. So understanding kind of the legacy of giving, people's experience, kind of the family dynamics around giving, all of those different elements. That requires a bit of cultural dexterity. All of those things is really important to understand, and really that means kind of slowing it down. You may have to think of, take more time to get to, to get to that level of understanding and awareness of the donor's experience. So you can't just rush those conversations right away into, coming up with a plan and a strategy. It really does take a little bit. We may take a little bit more time to do that to do that discovery. And then I'll just say, we can't forget about the transparency and ethics, right? Like it can't be stressed enough that it's not just transparency in terms of what the nonprofits themselves are doing, but it's also transparency in ethics around what we as advisors are doing, how we are navigating and being forthright and upfront about, our values and what we're bringing to the table in terms of our relationships with our clients, making sure that there is this mutual understanding, and full transparency and disclosure of anything that may be, that may be worthwhile in knowing, whether it's, existing relationships with nonprofits or, specific areas that you do or don't have experience with, and the need to seek additional expertise. I think that donors and clients are really looking for, real advisors that they can trust, obviously.
Right.
And the best way to do that is to be upfront, to be transparent, and to, to approach your work with a sense of, of educating and not influencing.
I love that. It's interesting because throughout this whole series, as we talk about all the trends, cultural dexterity really comes into every trend. This idea of knowing where the donor is at, being able to meet them there, not making any assumptions or bias, and being able to then advise them, appropriately. But then also in that advisement, making sure that you're transparent, and then back to that piece of ethics. So I think it's really interesting. For our listeners, can you kind of give a little more definition to what we mean by cultural dexterity?
Sure. Cultural dexterity is really just, we come into situations of different people with assumptions, right? And there's, the implicit bias, the unconscious bias is some of the words that we hear and the language that we use to talk about that. But when we talk about cultural dexterity, it really is getting to a deeper understanding of people and their experiences. It's being able to not just meet people where they are in terms of, physical location and listening with a deeper ear, but it's also understanding that people's experiences, their background, their history, their family, their race and ethnicity, all of the things that make them who they are come into the equations and the decisions and the way that they express their decisions, the way that they even have conversations, who you talk to in the family. All of those things come into play when it comes to, identity and cultural dexterity. So what we mean by cultural dexterity is really just getting a sense of understanding all of those different ways that the person's full identity informs how they approach their philanthropic decision making and their planning in general, is important to understand and be aware of, and also to practice listening, understanding, and then working with the client in the way that is going to express your understanding and acknowledgement and awareness that who they are in having these kinds of conversations.
And we've talked a lot about sort of how to adapt, and we talked about that adapting to this mistrust really can be about this transparency and ethics and cultural dexterity. How have you taken this trend and adapted it to your work? Or even more so, what about this trend do you think is going to be hard to adapt to?
I won't say it's necessarily the hardest. I will
Cool.
say it can be challenging sometimes, and that's understanding the family dynamics.
Yes.
And especially when you start to think about kind of trust, it's one thing to talk about, trust and transparency, about, institutions externally, but it's another thing to talk about that kind of trust, within the family. And so I think, getting past kind of the family dynamics, and really being able to get into the deeper why conversations and understanding those experiences, I think is really going to be key in helping to understand and overcome or at least mitigate some of the mistrust that is externally facing and may in order to move conversations around philanthropy forward with various ways and various tools and various nonprofit organizations. I think for me, one of the biggest challenges in terms of mistrust is that intergenerational conversation. And that's where I've seen it come up more and more. It's older generations have tended to, they tend to trust the nonprofits, right? The bigger the name, the more trustworthy an organization may be. But with younger generations, that growing mistrust is much more prevalent, and especially in the sense of, why have we been giving to XYZ organization and we really haven't seen a whole lot of things change? They're looking for solutions and not just support. So, calling those questions, asking, more of, asking and asking of, more asking to see more of an impact in their giving. Those are the areas where, I've seen and talk to clients about having those kind of multi-generational conversations that, you may not align on the who that you're supporting, or maybe even the how that you're supporting, but that underlying shared values as a family is something that really resonates and can help to navigate those difficult conversations around, I trust this organization, you should too. I don't trust that organization. I'm not going to. If families start to align around values, that can help kind of, lessen the tension around some of those conversations. And so that's been my experience
Sure.
is, intergenerationally, sharing values, having those, being transparent, all of those things, have been a challenge, but also create a great opportunity.
Yeah. I find it fascinating that in some cases, giving away money really can be challenging, right? I mean, it should, you think it's a simple and easy process of I have money, I'm going to give it away. It's an easy thing to do. And I've actually sat with donors who many of them have said sometimes they feel this burden of giving away their wealth because they don't know the best ways, the best means, and the best places to give that to. So I think that's why these conversations that we're having with families is critical to help folks feel good about their giving and understand the giving and their impact of that gift. And that's really why Daylight exists. Daylight is here because we really want to help anyone having those philanthropic conversations, whether you're a wealth manager or a gift planner, that you really have that confidence and that cultural dexterity and the competence, right? Because these are hard conversations. Can you talk a little bit about Daylight, why we exist, and more specifically, what we're doing to try to help advisors in these conversations?
Yeah, Meg, I think you hit the nail of it right on the head. And that's that confidence, and cultural dexterity piece. And you know, it's all of the above in the sense that it's really, really hard to be confident in having these kinds of conversations if you don't feel like you are competent in having them. And all too often, you know, we'll have, you know, I come from a wealth management background, and, you know, all too often we'll have, you know, advisors in the wealth management space who are really, really, really technically proficient, and they can put together a wealth and estate plan that accomplishes, you know, legacy goals in terms of tax planning, estate planning, and all of those technical aspects of a plan. But when it comes to philanthropy, the first sign of, you know, wanting to have a deeper conversation behind trust, DAF, or trust versus DAF versus, you know, IRA, they start to panic. And so it's hard to have those kinds of conversations if you don't feel like you're aware of all of the elements of it. And the same is true on, you know, the fundraising and the philanthropic advising side. If you don't feel like you understand some of those technical tools and techniques, it can be really daunting to have the confidence to have a deeper conversation with a donor around that. And then, you know, overlaying that with the cultural dexterity and just really understanding, you know, people's different lived experiences and what, you know, all of the kind of the beneath the iceberg, so to speak, elements that inform how people think about giving in general, you know, that's a challenge, and it can be really scary to try to think about how to navigate all of those pieces in having meaningful conversations. So Daylight exists to make that easier. It exists to give people that foundational confidence, and that cultural dexterity to be able to have these kinds of conversations confidently. And the more that we are able to learn in an environment with our peers, people who are having different kinds of conversations with different kinds of clients and donors, that's why Daylight exists. The more that we can have those conversations among our peers, the better we are at being able to do that. And so, you know, we are advisors who are teaching advisors. We are all, you know, we've all had different experiences that we can, you know, in our roles that we can bring forth to help, you know, create a sense of commonality, and understanding about how all of the things that we learn in our curriculum can have a has a practical application in the work that we do day in and day out.
It is a very interesting time and climate. And now more than ever, I think we need to ready advisors and anyone in this space to really move dollars and create impact.
It's going to take the whole ecosystem.
Yeah, and so we are inviting this ecosystem to join Daylight, not only in just being part of our community, but obviously in participating in the research and the practice and the learning that we really want to provide, whether that's through IPA or just through our community. So we look forward to sharing more about what Daylight's up to. But before we kind of close out, let's just remind our listeners one more time, Crystal, trend five of the eight trends in philanthropic advising. What is that trend?
It is growing mistrust. We have seen it. We've heard it. People are still have a level of mistrust for philanthropy and nonprofits, especially big philanthropy. And the way to combat that and adapt to that is to make sure that we're working with our clients around understanding their experiencing, refining and honing our cultural dexterity, being transparent and ethical in the work that we're doing, as well as in looking for that level of transparency with nonprofits as well.
I love that. So folks, that is what's trending. Thank you so much for joining us today, and stay tuned for more trends and insights to inspire meaningful change. If you haven't already, please visit our website, daylightadvisors.com, to learn more about our work, research, and practice, but also to learn about the Certified Impact Philanthropy Advisor Program. And we will see you next week when Rick Peck will take on Trend 6. So stay tuned, and thank you for joining us. Thank you.